There's this movie, La La Land, and in it, Ryan Gosling.
Who's Ryan Gosling?
Who's Ryan Gosling? Ryan Gosling, he's like this jazz musician. And if you've ever met this guy, this like white guy who's like really into jazz, and like, and all he does.
I've seen the movie.
Oh. But that scene, I watched that movie in a theater in Portugal. And I'm sitting there. You give me this. And I'm sitting there, and this scene comes on where he's like explaining to his white girlfriend about how jazz is dying, and he's like, "It's dying, and nobody cares." And I was like busting up laughing, and all these Portuguese are like, "I don't understand why this guy thinks this is so funny." And I was like, "I know that guy."
Like in real life?
There are just like these men who are like really obsessed with jazz. And yeah, it's a little bit performative, I would say, their obsession.
I see.
Anyway, all right, so should we go?
Yeah. Okay. Introduction.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so we're here in Iceland. This is. Excuse me?
We're going, and three, two...
No, but seriously, just like for a few minutes, will you...
It doesn't really work, we kind of have to talk.
Conflict.
You want to send us...
How many minutes? We should just shut up for like 2 hours?
No.
I think it's a legitimate question, like, should we, like, clear out...
Well, I don't know.
We're not going to be able to do this without communicating with
each
other.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense, yeah. Should we just go with, like...
Well, I think we're set up here, and we should do this now.
Yeah,
the question
yeah,
is whether
yeah.
we should send them away, or ask them or ask them to whisper, or tell them that to, like, stop and, like, come back later. That's, I think...
Those are your, yeah.
Do you think you can whisper for, like, 10 minutes?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Yeah,
thank you so much. Okay.
All right. All right, 3, 2, 1, action.
Okay, yeah. So we're in Iceland today, and yesterday was the solar eclipse. Oh no, introduction.
Yeah,
can you go first?
Yeah. Hey, I'm Seth Hopper. I teach physics and astronomy at Earlham College, and I'm here with...
Yujong. I just recently graduated from Earlham, and right after graduation, I followed these professors and the researchers to kind of like document the research this summer.
Yeah. So we're here in Iceland, and you wanted to talk with me about like what happened yesterday.
Yeah. So yesterday was a solar eclipse, and this was actually like my second time watching a solar eclipse, like very intentionally. The first one was in like 2017. That was my freshman year with a bunch of like students on the Heart back on Earlham's campus, and we were all like looking at the sky together.
Yeah. So that was actually my first year at Earlham too.
Oh really?
Well, so like I'm an alum, but when I came back to teach, my first year was in 2017. And so I think we didn't know this until today,
because you
had seen it on the Heart, and then I was telling you the story. So we, the first thing that I did at Earlham when I started working was to lead a trip from Earlham down to Kentucky,
wow,
because Earlham wasn't in the path of totality. And so I got a van, and then we got a bunch of students and some faculty and some staff all together, and we all drove down to Kentucky. So it was probably a 5-hour drive down there. We left really early in the morning to make sure we got into the path of totality on time, and then we found a random field that we were in, and then we these farmers let us set up in their side yard.
Also, it wasn't like an official site.
No,
like,
well, so yeah, we were down there. We're driving along, and people were trying to like rent their driveways for $50 a car or something.
Oh my
God. We said, I bet we can find somewhere better.
Yeah.
And so we found these random nice people, and they like made us lemonade and stuff. It was actually delightful. Anyway, so we actually got to see the totality there, but at Earlham, I think you got like 90-91% totality.
Okay, okay.
So it wasn't, and we can talk about the difference between totality and just a partial eclipse in a bit.
Sounds good. And did you get some good pictures from the trip?
Yeah, we had one of our recent graduates, Georgia Tillotson, she was one of the students that came with it. She was a photography major, and so she took like a lot of pictures, and we made a poster of it, and she
mm-hmm.
we made some montages of the different the different parts of the eclipse, and so we can include some of those.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, I mean, before we came out to Iceland, like, we were planning to, like, photograph the solar eclipse as well. Mm-hmm. But when we woke up around, like, 7 or 8 a.m., I thought we won't even be able to see the eclipse at all.
Yeah, it's been the weather here. So this is my first time to Iceland as well. And the weather here is so temperamental. It changes very quickly. And so, yeah, when we woke up, the prediction was it was going to be a cloudy day. And so I really was not expecting us to be able to see anything, even though, like, we had this eclipse. It started sort of in Canada. You could see partial eclipse in the U.S., but then it crossed over Greenland, and then it crossed over the partial eclipse crossed over us, and then it traveled over to northern Russia, was the path. But by the forecast, I was assuming that we weren't going to see anything.
Yeah, definitely. So. And I was cleaning up, like, after breakfast and after meeting, and I hear you like, you don't come see outside, and I was like, what's going on? Like, I even forgot that it was we were gonna watch that. Yeah, and the sun and the cloud was, like, slowly lifting away, and it was really cool. And a lot of other people, you know, joined us outside. We were watching together, and you brought us eclipse sunglasses.
Yeah, we have these cool glasses.
Yeah,
put them on right now. Look at this. I can't see anything with them on, but they're very good for watching the eclipse. Yeah. So then I went off into the field and was, like, working with the students. We were flying drones. Tamara and David are, like, they're mapping out this archaeological site, and the eclipse was going on, so it lasted for, like, 2.5 hours, and you were back at the house here where we're staying in Skalanes. And so you want to say, like, what you were doing, what you were working on?
Yeah. So it was my first time actually trying to photograph the, like, eclipse with, like, solar filters that you brought to the trip. This one was the white light solar mm-hmm. lens, right? And so that allowed us to see the sun, like, in the white color, and this one was, like, the kind of, like, the typical, like, yellow orange.
Yeah. When you think of the sun, like, usually when you're able to see the sun actually without looking at it and burning your eyeballs out, like, you're looking at it sunrise or sunset, and those points the sun looks yellow or red, but of course the surface of the sun is really white, and that's why when you shine sunlight through a prism you get all the colors of the rainbow. And so when you're looking at pictures of the solar through your glasses, it'll look yellow or orange, but that's just an effect of the particular filter that you're using. And so this filter that Yuzhong used, we got some pictures that were sort of yellowish orange, but then this white filter gives you a more natural look, mm-hmm. actually, of the sun.
So would you say this filter is more, like, accurate?
I guess so. Yeah, it's certainly giving you a broader range of spectrum that looks closer to, mm-hmm. to what you, if you could just, like, turn down the intensity on the sun so it wasn't quite as bright, you'd look closer to something like this. What you see at sunset gives you a sort of an inaccurate representation of the sun, because, like, here we are, we're in Iceland right now, and the sun will set in the west, so it'll be like setting over Canada, say, or over the U.S., while it'll be daytime in Canada or the U.S. while it's setting here, rather. And that sunlight in the sky, it's like making the sky blue over Canada. But then the red light continues through, and we see the red light is what's left over at the sun's at sunset. So the long wavelength they pass mm-hmm. through, and the short wavelengths, the blue and the violet and the green, they're left in the western part of the sky. But usually when the sun's overhead, you're seeing if you actually were able to look at it, if your eyeballs could handle it, you would see something white. And so this filter, the ones that you were able to capture with this, give you a more accurate representation.
I see. Yeah, and I was also trying to, like, take photos with my phone, and mm-hmm. there was, like, this one, like, a short moment where there were some clouds in front of the sun, and yeah. I could see the sun, like, even just on my phone without the filter.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is actually really interesting, because this is only the second eclipse that I've seen as well. So the first one that I saw was the one in 2017 when we were able to see the totality. And that day, we were lucky enough to have this clear blue sky. And,
yeah.
But it was actually really interesting yesterday, because we had the clouds in the way. And if you've ever been outside on a cloudy day, you can totally look at the sun, because mm-hmm. you just sort of, like, look at the part of the sky that's a little bit brighter.
Yeah.
Right? And so it was a partly cloudy day yesterday, and so we could actually see with our naked eyes, you could see the sun, and you could see that it was partially eclipsed, which was really neat, because normally during an eclipse, mm-hmm. the only time you can actually look at the sun and see anything useful is during the moment of totality. And the eclipse yesterday was only a partial eclipse here, so we would never have been able to do that if it weren't a partly cloudy sky. And so we have some photographs that we took where we just mm-hmm. pointed our normal iPhones at the sun, yeah. and we're like, oh, look, you got a picture of the eclipse. which normally would just get completely washed out.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really
definitely
cool,
neat yeah. So I also read that like in Iceland, Skjalanes, where we are at right now, the maximum eclipse happened around like 10:17, but it really wasn't like, it was just like partial. And I know that in some other parts of the world they were able to see the
ring of fire. So we should like talk about like what's going on. I brought some props actually for this. So I have this pumpkin, maybe some sort of gourd here. This native plant, probably not, probably imported. So this is going to represent the sun, and I have this apple, which will represent the moon. And so the idea is that if I'm sitting here on Earth and I want to see the sun, you know, I look at it, and normally the moon is somewhere else. It could be over here, like behind me, like under a full moon. For a new moon, the moon is like basically in between the Earth and the sun. And at the moment of an eclipse, it gets in between. So the thing being eclipsed, we call it a solar eclipse, that's the sun. So now if the moon is really close to me, then it like blocks out like the whole of the sun. If the moon is far away, though, like you can see the sun around it. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened yesterday in Greenland and in Canada, in certain parts of the world. We have what we call an annular eclipse. It's also known as a ring of fire, where you could see like a ring around the moon. When you have a total eclipse, the moon is like a little bit closer to Earth. And then in that case, it totally exactly almost eclipses the sun. So all you can actually see is the atmosphere of the sun, which is made up of the chromosphere and really the corona, which is the big part of the sun. If you ever see pictures of the solar eclipse, you get these wispy lines. That's the corona.
Yeah.
It's a very hot and large part of the sun. It actually flows smoothly into the solar wind that the sun gives off. So what we had yesterday was a partial eclipse, but we weren't actually lined up exactly because where we are on the Earth, it was like off center a little bit. And so if we had been in the right area of Greenland, we would have seen the ring of fire, but we actually only saw like 70% of the sun was covered by the moon at maximum. But I mean, when you're looking at a partial eclipse, 70%, 60%, 40%, they're all sort of equivalent. Sort of see this crescent that is really pretty in the sky. So that's what we got to see yesterday. I could say some words also about like why this happens, like when it happens, if you're interested. I brought a couple other props. So I have a couple other important things here to show how this is working. One is a random book that I picked up on the history of Iceland. If you can read Icelandic, this might be interesting.
Are you sure it's the history of Iceland?
I think so. It's got some. It has some dates in it. There's some pictures I can show you.
Okay.
Oh, here's a picture of some horses back in the day. The other thing I have is my crossword book that we're doing. Okay. Now I brought this because I want to talk about the orbits of the Earth and the orbits of the Moon and the Sun. So the Earth goes around the Sun in a circle. People will try to tell you it's an ellipse, but they're just being pedantic. So it more or less goes in a circle around the sun. And if you think about a circle is defined, it like lies in a plane. Okay, and so the circle of the orbit of the Earth around the sun, it defines this plane. Now the moon goes in an orbit around the Earth, and that also defines a plane, and so the moon is going in a circle like this. But these two planes aren't exactly aligned. In fact, they're sort of tilted. So that the moon is like, it's tilted at about 5 degrees relative to the Earth's orbit. And so every once in a while, the moon will intersect the Earth's orbit around the sun at just the right time. You need to have all three objects lined up in order to have an eclipse. So here I've only brought two objects. I brought the gourd, which is the sun, and I've brought the moon, which is the apple. So I'm gonna use Yuzhong's head as the Earth, right? So they have to all get in line like this. Normally, if the moon is like passing in between, it goes a little bit low or it goes a little bit high because the two planes aren't aligned. And I'll teach you a fun word. This is called a syzygy, when all three things, all three celestial bodies are in a line. And so it's a pretty rare event. Mm-hmm. In fact, I learned recently that anytime you have a solar eclipse, you also have a lunar eclipse. And 14 days ago on the full moon, we actually had the Earth in the way of the moon. And so the moon was eclipsed. And so you could actually, if you're in the right part of the Earth, you would have seen the moon. It actually becomes like a blood red moon at that moment.
Oh, I see.
The Earth casts its shadow upon the moon. It's a pretty cool event in and of its own in its own respect.
So do you know how like maybe like animals respond to the solar eclipse?
Yeah, so I have a couple of stories about this because when we saw the eclipse in Kentucky, we were on a farm with these nice strangers who had let us camp in their side yard, and they had these horses and other farmyard animals, and so I think animals don't really do anything strange too much during the partial eclipse, although it does get darker, and so you'll start to hear birds sing mm-hmm. more. But the thing that I found was so striking is that at the moment of totality, which lasted for about 2.5 minutes, the animals really thought that it was nighttime. I guess the sun is set, and it gets really dark. You can see at that moment, you can actually see planets in the sky. You can see stars in the middle of the day at 2
they
in the afternoon.
They didn't get the news that it was happening today.
That's right. So so these horses, they were out grazing in the field, and they all started walking back to the barn, and they said, I guess it's bedtime. And then, you know, a couple minutes later, the sun came back, and they were like, what is going on? You know, you try to explain, but it's just a horse. It doesn't get it. So. It's pretty interesting to see the way that wildlife behaves, and because eclipses are because they're so predictable, we know the motion of the moon and the earth and the sun so well, you can tell exactly when they're going to happen, and so people plan years in advance and they do science, and so one of the things people do is study the way that animals behave during eclipses, or they'll see how does temperature change. You can do all sorts of cool backyard mm-hmm. astronomy science experiments to figure out how's your local nature being affected by
that's
that.
That's really cool. And now, we get the news and we know in advance that this is happening. But I know that in the past, in human history, there have been, people who took the solar eclipse as some kind of sign or some kind of
So we were talking about this earlier. I was telling you the story, which I can relate now. There's this great story about a battle that was taking place in the Middle East, and this is hundreds of years before the Common Era, and this is a time when the world is dominated by polytheistic faiths that are very pagan. They're really looking for signs from the natural world. A lot of sun worshippers in the world, and so you have these two armies. I believe it was the Medians and the Assyrians. Although we might have to look that up. We'll put an asterisk there. But anyway, so these two armies are fighting, and they're near Mesopotamia, and there's a. And a solar eclipse happens, solar eclipse, and they
during the battle,
right? And so that's right. So they're having this battle, and this eclipse happens, and they don't know that's gonna come, right? Because they don't have the predictive power of all the websites and technology we have today. And so if the thing that you worship more than anything else in the world is the sun, and the sun goes away during a battle, it really is a very strong omen. And so these two sides, they stopped fighting, and they were like, you know what, we're going home. Right. And I think that makes a lot of sense. It's really interesting. I mean, there were stories about how the Chinese emperor, was associated with the sun, and during an eclipse, they'd be like, oh no, this is life threatening perhaps for the emperor. He's supposed to be the physical embodiment of this force that brings all life to earth. And his astrologers would go and they would perform a ritual to try to make sun come back. And
they did.
Yeah, they worked, and it
there
worked,
was
right?
So they promotion after.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, there's all sorts of neat stuff throughout history. Yeah.
How about anything in more modern times?
Yeah.
Have there been?
Yeah. I mean, well, obviously, there have been a lot of eclipses recently. There's the one in 2017, a lot of stuff. And then there's another eclipse coming in 2024. In the United States, before 2017, we hadn't had an eclipse in decades.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a very rare event. And then we're lucky enough to actually have two within a 7-year mm-hmm. period. But the most famous eclipse of the 20th century is one that happened in 1919. So there's another little story, and you can edit this out if I get too long-winded. But the idea is that it's 1915, and Albert Einstein, a German physicist, and he publishes the general theory of relativity. And this is his theory of gravity, and it's supposedly going to overthrow Newton's laws. And Einstein, and a lot of people believe this, he's already gotten famous in 1905 for publishing his special theory of relativity, and he's famous for many other things at the time. And so, but it's a very complicated theory, and it requires very precise measurements. And so, 1915, well, this is right at the beginning of World War I, and so Germany goes to war with much of the rest of Europe, including the United Kingdom. So it's 4 years later, the war is wrapping up, 1919, and now a British scientist named Arthur Eddington, he decides that he's going to try to confirm Einstein's theory. So I have to say a little bit more about the predictions of Einstein's theory. So we're back with our sun here. The idea is Einstein's theory predicts that if you have a star, say my finger is a star, it shoots off a ray of light, and the starlight goes near something massive, that the massive body will actually bend that light. Okay? So you're the observer here. If the sun weren't here, then the star could be over here and you would see it. Boom, you'd see it right there, right? But if the sun's here and the starlight comes, it would bend and you wouldn't see it. Okay? So the prediction of the general theory of relativity is that you'll see some angle of deflection. So if you imagine the Earth is going around the sun, okay, and so part of the time the sunlight will pass the star and hit you and it'll get bent, but on the other part of the year the sunlight doesn't have to pass the sun. Sorry, excuse me, let me say that again. The starlight doesn't have to pass the sun. And so we can put a diagram in, I think, that may be a little bit more clear. The point is that they needed to measure how much the positions of stars as they were passing the sun, and you can't see stars during the daytime because it's too bright out. And so what we wind up having to do is wait for a solar eclipse. So there was this prediction of an eclipse in 1919, and these scientists all made a trip down to this island off the coast of Africa, and it was this huge eclipse. It lasted like 6 minutes. Normal eclipses are only like a few minutes long. And they took these photographs and they found the position of this star, and it was like shifted from where it was originally. And so Eddington comes back and he says, we've confirmed Einstein's theory. It's totally right. There were headlines that ran in like the Times of London, and the Newtonian laws of physics overthrown. And it's all because they did this experiment during the eclipse. Now, subsequently, people have come back and said, well, maybe Eddington's measurements weren't quite correct. But it turns out we've done a lot of measurements since then. We're very confident the general theory of relativity is correct. And it was certainly a very famous moment in the history of science. And I really like this story because you have a British scientist who is confirming the theory of a German scientist. And this is another example of like where natural science can really transcend national boundaries, cultural boundaries. There's something in the universe that we all share, you know, and that's nature. I mean, it's really, I think it's, there's sort of a romance to that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think there's a romance to like, even to like the eclipse that we had like yesterday, that like we were experiencing something that people in Canada were experiencing in Greenland. And you know, it definitely is something that like brings people outside.
Yeah. There's really something about, you know, like a group of little human gazing, you know, at something that's so far, but we're all experiencing it together.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, no, that's really, really nice. Cool.
I think that's it. Right?
You think that's it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, it's.
Do you want to talk? Should we talk about the iPhone photos real quick and then finish it?
Oh yeah. So yeah, we had. I will say this: it is cool the photos that we can take these days. You know, I was out with Davi and Tamara, and we were taking photographs, and they were flying their drones, and I was taking photographs rather of them, and then I pulled out my iPhone, and I was like, I wonder if I can get like a picture of the eclipse, but I didn't have these like fancy filters that you had. All I had were my glasses, and so I was just like pulled my phone out, I was just like trying to shoot like through here, and I was amazed at how good the photographs I got. It's really fun. I just think, you know, I got a picture.
Share some later.
It's cool. I got a picture of, like, with like Davi, like his like profile and photo clips.
That's really cool.
I don't know. I'm definitely an amateur photographer, but you know, it sort of goes to show you could just like, you know, try to do things, you can get cool shots.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway,
yeah.
So it's been a fun experience here.
It was a really exciting moment. Yeah. Thank you so much for really interesting stories and your explanations.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for chatting.
Hope you enjoyed.
Bye.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Dinner.
Thank you.
Should be chopped.
Should I leave this?
Yeah, you just leave it. Just set it down.
Should we like stop this recording?
Yeah,
what's happening?
I'll stop.
Oh, you do it. Yeah, I don't want to mess up.
Okay. She's got the whole package. She knows how to do this stuff.
She knows how to push her way in.
It was her?
Yeah. And independent of any force, she's going to make this thing happen now. And then she goes around and apologizes.
No, it's actually, it's what you want, right?
Yeah. No. I say that in a completely upbeat way.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's great.
That was really cool.
I hope that it comes
out
okay.
I think we should start a show.
I don't know.
Absolutely.
Let's see there.
How does it look? Does it look okay? Let's see.
Oh, it's slightly tilted. Which is fine.